This is something I feel like I'm still developing my philosophy on, because it's a big thing when you first are postpartum, when you first have your first kid. Everybody talks about like finding yourself in motherhood, or there's a big, a popular saying called getting your pink back. Because
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, because flamingos, they actually, like, after having, like, after they go through motherhood, they lose their coloring.
Really?
Right away. Yes. I didn't know that. And so then it's like you're finding yourself again. You're getting your pink back, because then it eventually does.
The flamingos get come back. Back. The mama flamingos.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, learned something new.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now. Cheers. Let me talk to you.
No kids.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, what are you most thankful for?
What am I most thankful for?
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was what you've been on point.
You do. You're doing.
I do better of the...
Let me talk to you.
And if I'm in that, then I can go,
yeah. That's, who is it?
L.A. Knight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't do L.A. Knight without going, yeah.
Yeah.
What am I most thankful for?
Yeah.
Our family, like the four of us, our kids and you. And then our health, like all of our health. And... especially after the past couple months, just thankful for the health of our extended family.
Yeah. Cheers to that. And this episode, for the listeners that don't know, we have someone who literally holds it all together, the glue of the family, my amazing wife, Courtney Sullivan. She's making her return to the podcast. You were first on, I think it was episode 10, where you interviewed me. And then more recently, ooh, it would be Christmas of 2024,
I think it was.
So for listeners, go check it out. I do not remember that number off the top of my head.
Tisk.
I know. Bad host.
So you've done so many, though.
Oh, I have. Yeah, this is like, we're over 160 easily. And it's a lot of fun because it's getting to meet new people, different people, and learning what they do. So it's been pretty cool. It's been really cool. So... you know, for the listeners, here's some of what we're going to talk about, whether it's navigating life as a partner, raising kids, or enjoying one of our favorite topics, pro wrestling. For those of you that don't know, Courtney has gotten me into WWE. It was kind of her, I don't know, you brought it to the table for sure.
Yeah, it was something I was very into as a child and then had to step away from. And then... accidentally got into it again a night a couple years ago that we didn't have kids and was able to sit down and watch it, and then I was hooked.
Yeah, that's true. We watched it was at the Link.
WrestleMania. Yeah,
WrestleMania. We should
have 41.
We weren't into it at the time. But so for listeners, those are the kind of topics we're going to talk about. You know, a little bit about our relationship, how we met, for those who don't know, what it's like being a parent. The joys and realness of raising two under three. A little bit about WWE, and yeah, just kind of go from there. So, Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. Let's cheers to that. Cheers. So let's start off with probably what all the listeners are curious about. From the beginning, how do we first meet? I know some of the listeners may know, but there's a lot of new ones. So what was like, how do you remember? How do we first meet?
Well,
what's your take?
We first met in middle school doing track, throwing together is when we probably would have first like known each other or like known of each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably. Yeah. But like,
that goes way back.
In in a relationship sense, we started to become pretty close friends your senior year of high school, my junior year of high school, and then we got together my senior year of high school, your
freshman year of college.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, middle school, I don't remember that much. But yeah, it was track and field. It was
we were just in the same orbit. So if you technically say, how'd you first meet, that's how I would have first...
I guess that's right.
We would have first met each other.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we turned into... We used to sit on the bus near each other, going to invitationals and stuff.
That's right.
When it was a mixed bus.
Yeah.
And then I used to ask you to hang out, and you were always too busy working.
Too busy working at the shop here at
Color AKA Tech. Playing video games.
Playing Call
Your
of
dad
Duty.
Will attest to that.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
And then there's the infamous cookie story, chocolate chip cookie,
the cookie scandal, right?
Or yeah.
Whatever you want to call that. The cookie debacle, maybe.
Yes. So yeah. For
Let's
anyone
talk about that,
who doesn't know, I make a mean chocolate chip cookie. It's a family recipe that
really good.
My grandpa, Buck, had and passed on to me. And I made chocolate chip cookies outwardly for all of the girl throwers and anyone else that was around that day for a meet. But then the only guy I offered them to was you, and your dad just happened to be standing there. Well, you were so focused on what you were about to do, you turned me down and said, no, thank you. Which, knowing you now, that is a really big deal, because I don't think I've ever seen you turn down a cookie since.
No, you're right. I was locked in. And, well, it was shot put.
Yeah, which was your best event.
Thing. Yeah.
And so now your dad loves to tell that story. If a girl offers you chocolate chip cookies, you should take her to the movies and she likes you.
Right.
It's one of his favorites.
A little slow on the uptake there, but yeah, that's what it was. It was a big meet, and it was at the shot put circle, and I'm like, no, I don't have time for cookies or chocolate chip cookies. No, thank you. But
afterwards, a gentleman came up to you and was reciting all of your stats, and you thought he was a
scout.
Well,
what happened was, we were going from the shot put circle, for anyone that's been to Cedar Crest campus, for a track and field event. So shot put is kind of across the way. Then you got to walk maybe, I don't know, football field or two, over to the discus circle. So I'm walking over, and this guy runs up to me, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I forget. He had maybe a Louisville shirt on or something. I don't know. But it was a college team, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah.
And, yeah, he knew, like, everything about me when it comes to stats. Or, like, oh, you threw really well there, Sully. You know, you did really well. And I was like, oh, cool, thanks. You know, I didn't know who he was, but I'm like, oh, this is a nice guy, really cool. And then we get over to the discus circle, and then I think
I was
I
there.
I forget. I told somebody.
Me.
Yeah, but I guess. I
probably
know.
Your dad, but at one point you were like, because I saw the interaction.
Oh, okay.
Being very embarrassed. So then we interacted, and you were like, yeah, I talked to this guy. He must have been a scout. And I was like, oh, no, that was my
dad. Yeah, now knowing your father makes total sense. But in the moment, I was like, oh, this is a scout for, you know, D2, D3, you never know. I mean, I know it wasn't D1, but, you know, we could hope. So, yeah, that was kind of the first interaction with your dad. Was your mom there?
I'm sure. I mean, I was also competing. It wasn't all about you.
No, but she didn't come over, so she was like,
well, no, my mom's not going
to
do that.
Shout out to Smiley and John A. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. But, yeah, then from there, I don't want to fast forward. Is there anything else I'm missing?
No, that's, I mean.
Then, yeah, just freshman year at Kutztown, still throwing there, which was a lot of fun. And you were a senior, still throwing. And, yeah, I came back to, like, practice, and I think we got together and threw a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I was like, I'm going to ask her to the movies and to go to the Inn 422, which, if you're an avid listener of the podcast, you know Finn, at least this is my take on it, Finn is named or his name has the in it, F-I-N-N. I don't care what you say, but that's why it's Finn with two N's, because the Inn 422, that's our first date. That's where we got engaged. Pretty much everything on the Sullivan family, that's where we did. That was our place.
Which I didn't even know that logic, guys. So if this is your first time hearing it, it's mine too. But it makes sense. But yeah. I've never heard that. Shout out always to thought the... it was Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah. There's a one of the characters. His name Finn in the Peaky Blinders on Netflix. Check that out. Highly recommend it. But shout out to Scott and Crystal at the Inn. If anybody knows them, share this episode with them. But that was like the place. So yeah, that's what we did. We went, to dinner and then kind of the movies?
Sherlock Holmes 2. With Robert Downey Jr.
Gosh.
And I had never seen the first one, but you did ask me because it was one of your favorite movies, so you just assumed everybody had seen
the movies.
And so that afterwards I was asking you questions of like, oh, what happened? And then you were like, wait, you have no idea what's going on. And that's when we should have first realized that you came from a movie family and I came from a sports family.
Yes, ESPN's on 24/7. Yeah, that was
our kids right now are watching the Olympics. Like, that is what is just on the TV.
Proud Patriots, proud Americans. Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, that was a big difference for sure. Yeah, and then the rest is history. Here we are. Yeah, dated for like 10 years. Married now for 7. Engaged for 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or going on 8. 8 years married.
It'll be 8 in April. Yeah. We've been together since
2018.
2012.
Wow. It's a long time. We're putting up with my nonsense. Let's take a sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer flavored beer. So throughout the years, what would you say is like the secret ingredient to making a relationship strong and last a long time? What do you think it is from your perspective?
I mean, not an expert by any means, but I feel like for us, having that solid foundation of we were friends for a long time before we started dating. And that's what I feel like our relationship is rooted in, is friendship and like ribbing each other and kind of having that like playful foundation. But then, I mean, I feel like everybody says it, but you have to communicate is the biggest thing, especially with kids. And you have so many other things going on that you might only have like one or two solid hours of time together on any given day. So you need to make that count.
Oh, yeah.
And make it quality and not as tempting as it is to just sit there and watch TV or whatever. You need to actually communicate, or then you're just roommates.
It's real simple, guys. Have an amazing wife. That's what it comes down to. But a good segue would be, you know, parenthood changes so much in everyone's lives. You know, it's in the family. You know, you got grandparents, then grandparents from great-grandparents, and, you know, all of a sudden you're a mom and dad. So what has surprised you the most about becoming a mom?
How humble your kids make you.
Dude, they can be brutal.
I think Parker knocks me down like 6 pegs every day.
Yeah. they will humble you if you're not, you know, if you're not careful.
I mean, when I dropped her off at my parents a little bit ago so we could do this, she literally looked at me and goes, "Get out, mommy. I don't want you here. Bye."
She's done. She's like, "Yep, see ya."
Any other time she'll cry and scream, but this one she's just like, "Get out."
Yeah. It's a big change, and talked about it on previous episodes. It's like, yeah, well, like people say, your whole world changes.
Because everything changes. You go from caring about like prioritizing yourself and then your partner to then you have these one, two, however, like for us too, other beings that come before everything else. Like that has to be the first thing you think about, that all consumes everything. I mean, I always say that the thing that nobody tells you about having a kid that like you never think about, you don't even eat normally anymore. Like that's how fundamentally like we eat at 9 o'clock at night just after both kids have gone to bed so we can have peace and actually be able to eat.
Right. You know, you're not wrong. It changes your whole schedule and it's for the better, you know. And it's awesome. It's an awesome experience to see them grow, you know, like from how little they were when we brought them home and how big they are and walking around and putting sentences together.
Especially Finn, our two-year-old, we are in one of those big periods right now where, like, every day it seems like he's doing something new. He's speaking more. Now today he thinks he can do, like, a hair flip like Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah. He just did that for the first time that I've seen it.
I've never seen it before either. Because
he's called him handsome or something.
And then he's just, like, shaking his hair.
Yeah.
Because he has, like, a small mullet going on because of you. Because, like, I'm not allowed to cut his hair.
Right. It's not because of my hair. Ladies and gentlemen, obviously you know that, but
we'd
be remiss if we didn't shout out Unc Deuce.
And his flow.
And his flow, yeah. So that's kind of the inspo behind it.
But I think you are living vicariously through Finn, who has more hair now than I think you've ever had in your life.
Just trying to make sure he's got that hair for the long haul, you know. My Lord.
I got it trimmed and I thought you were going to make me sleep outside.
No, let it grow. Let it grow.
So now he has a little bit of a mullet and he was just shaking it in the wind and living his best life every time you called him handsome today.
Yep. He loved it. Yeah. And Parker, she's three and it's just crazy to see the change from, you know, even just 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah. Know. Now how much taller. She can do for herself, how much she wants to help. I can't do anything in the kitchen without her pulling up her little toddler stool. And
right.
And then we do something, and then my favorite is, what do we do next, Mama? And then she wants to, like, learn and do the steps and stuff. And, yeah, it's wild, but it's great. It's hard, but it's great.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And speaking of, like, helping, and sometimes I think, you know, they think they're helping, and they're kind of slowing down the process, but you know, you juggle a lot between work, family, activities with the kids, podcast recordings, calendar schedules. What is your philosophy on balancing all those pieces without losing your mind?
This is something I feel like I'm still developing my philosophy on, because it's a big thing when you first are postpartum, when you first have your first kid. Everybody talks about, like, finding yourself in motherhood, or there's a big a popular saying called getting your pink back, because
never heard that one.
Yeah, because flamingos, they actually, like, after having, like, after they go through motherhood, they lose their coloring.
Really?
Right away. Yes.
I didn't know that.
And so then it's like you're finding yourself again. You're getting your pink back, because then it eventually does
the flamingos get
come
back.
Back. Yeah.
The flamingos.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, learned something new.
And so that's the whole thing, is kind of finding your, not only yourself again, but this inherently new version of that. And while all of that is different for every mom and it becomes different, I feel like for me, my particular challenges was, we got pregnant again with Finn when I was 7 months postpartum with Parker. So I couldn't even figure out who I was or have time really to find myself in motherhood before I was becoming a mom of two. And so it's like now, finally, I was actually just thinking about it this morning. 2025 was the first full year I wasn't pregnant since...
That's what, 2020?
One.
Yeah.
Because we found out we were pregnant with Parker Christmas 2021.
Yep. No, that's right. So we went to everyone's house and told them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was wild. So
it's a journey, right?
Yeah. And so then last year and now into this year, it has really been making sure everybody else is taken care of, but knowing that you need to take care of yourself too. And, like, thankfully, we have such a great support system of our parents, so our kids' grandparents, that will do nights like what we're going to have tonight, where we can do this and then have time. Or if we have, like, things like you have the podcast, or that if I want to start, like, I've been going to yoga or doing other things, or, like, going to WWE events.
Yeah.
That we have that option to have that child care, that we can still do things for ourselves and for us as a couple, which a lot of people don't have the luxury, especially when we have so many sides supporting us.
Yeah. Shout out to the grandparents and the great grandparents.
Yes.
Yeah. And Yeah, the aunts and uncles. Everybody. Shout out to everybody. Yeah, because it means a lot. It's a lot of people helping.
It's a cliche, but it does take a village, because you lose your mind quick enough as it is, but if you didn't have that breaks, it would really be even more severe.
Makes it a little easier, yeah. Yeah. Now with, you know, the kids getting older, 3 and 2, is there a moment you can look back, a milestone that really stands out so far? Like for Parker and Finn, I'm trying to think myself as well.
This is going to sound like so bad.
What's that?
Well, like for poor Finn being a second child kind of thing.
One for Parker, yeah.
I have one for Parker too. I mean, I can think of one for Finn, but the one, like that core memory for the first time with me for Parker was the first time she rolled over.
Oh, okay.
Because it was her and I by ourselves, and she had like had this book and somehow like a soft book, and she threw it.
Yeah, the crinkle book.
The crinkle book. She loved the crinkle book. And I turned just for a second to like pick up my phone or something to take a picture of her. Turn around, and she was rolled over. And I was like, of course you're not gonna let me see it, but knowing she did it was, and like, oh, okay, because she wanted that book, so she rolled over to get the book. I have to say, I think the phase, and I know we're living in it, but the phase we're in right now, like Finn has new words every day. Today was probably the first time I've heard him do like a full sentence, because he was heckling you for not wearing a hat in the car.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, Dada no have hat on. And like,
pretty much, yeah.
Dada no hat. And then Dada no hat, Dada no hat. But then he was happy because your dad had a hat on. So he was like, gee, Dad hat. Yes. Yes,
right.
And so it's just things like that, that you're hearing him become a little person, and his personality is like surging through him now.
The smile.
Oh, my, he's going to be trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Very charismatic, that one.
So I'd say the two for me, completely different than what you said, so that's good. It's Parker with potty training, how quickly she took to that. No more diapers, pretty much. That impressed me. And was like, wow, okay, we're getting somewhere. You know what I mean? Quickly. And it's like, oh, it's a big change. You know what I mean? And then with Finn, I'd say, because I normally put him to bed, is the fact that he doesn't put up a fight to go to bed anymore. You know, like he wants me to read the Elmo book or read, you know, we have a Fly Eagles Fly book. So to me, that was the big one, where he's like not fussing or putting up a fight.
Oh, and now we're both bad Eagles fans, because our core moment should be the fact that Parker can spell E-A-G-L-E-S
Eagles. Yeah.
Perfectly, better than the mayor of Philly.
Seriously, not
and
even lying. Yeah.
Then Finn can mimic the sounds of it.
Enough that we know what he's talking about, and then we put the 30-second.
That's
clip
all he wants to watch is the stadium fight song on YouTube.
It's like an animated,
of video swoop. It's what they show in the stadium mascot after they score.
Yeah,
and that's all he wants to listen
that's
to.
That's true. Yeah, go Birds. We got them young. We indoctrinated.
We did
them
our
young.
Job.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So speaking of entertainment, whether it's sports or WWE, professional wrestling, that is something that growing up I didn't get to watch. Like WWE wasn't a thing at my mom's house, and not even at dad's, you know, we didn't watch that. But you have quite the story with wrestling. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so my dad and I used to watch wrestling, like height of the Attitude Era. So The Rock, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, all that kind of stuff. So I have memories of watching that fairly religiously, I'd say. I don't know if we would like do every pay-per-view, but we were watching like Monday Night Raw and all that kind of stuff all the time. Until one day, my grandma, Laverne, used to watch my best friend Megan and I before we were in school. And well, one day, apparently in my mind, Megan backsassed me. And
totally believable.
Yeah.
If you know her.
Yeah. You're just used to her backsassing you. All so that's time. Why it's believable. But you're an easy target.
Yeah.
But so apparently she did or said something I did not agree with. So picked her up, body slammed her, spit on her, and said, "Can you smell what I'm cooking?" And
that's my wife.
Shockingly, my mom then was like, "No more wrestling." Don't know why.
Really?
Really, Smiley?
Really?
So that ended that for my dad and I. And I mean, what? I was five when that happened. sorry, Megan. And she's still my friend to this day, folks.
Besties.
Best friend.
Yeah.
Besties. And so then fast forward to it was our anniversary, like the weekend of our anniversary. So my parents had the kids for us and we went to dinner and we came home. I think we got dessert to go from the restaurant. And we came home and we're like, what are we going to watch? And we're like, oh, WrestleMania is at Lincoln Financial Field. And we're like, we should just see what it looks like. Because like kind of anything, anytime anything's on at the link, we just want to see
right
how different it looks. And like,
and we never
point,
really watched it together.
Never. Anyway. I can honestly tell you, I mean, maybe clips here and there, but I never sat down and watched it.
Dropped a cold turkey,
since, I mean, when Smiley tells you no, you like, listen. You take that seriously. Right. But, Gamma. Gamma. But, so, and I think we thought too, like, oh, maybe, and then it ended up happening, like, what if some of the team gets involved or something? Like, we, that'd
be
cool
to see.
Yeah,
we want
to see,
right? Yeah.
And, you, even if you think like you don't know wrestling or whatever, really popular wrestlers have like slipped into pop culture. So you know enough like that you would see one or two that you'd be like, oh, I've heard of John Cena or like so and so or whatever. But so then we watched it and I was hooked, but it didn't sink in right away until like that's April and then January. So of 2025, Monday Night Raw premiered on Netflix. And I was like, you know what? I liked this. Like we should. And ever since then, it's been every Monday. That's what we watch.
Yeah.
Every Friday we watch SmackDown. We watch every PLE.
Once the kids go to bed for the listeners.
Oh, yes. I do not.
We don't want them
I learned,
going down that
I learned
path,
my lesson. I do not.
On Hadley and, you know, that wouldn't be good.
Which is Megan, my best friend Megan's daughter. So we do not want history to repeat itself in
Parky's
that regard.
Bestie.
Yeah. So the kids do not watch it, which you might not you might think they do by watching how they interact with each other sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like WrestleMania like at our house all the time.
Yeah.
But they don't
What's
watch it.
What's the song you play?
Oh, so we play Bad Reputation from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts because it's the song in Shrek, which is Finn's favorite movie. For the scene where they're at the tournament and he's like fighting all the knights and everything. So that's our, if it's time to like tickle or like get some energy out, mess around, like tussle a little bit. Yeah. We play that song. My favorite is to make it like my WWE entrance. That I'll be like washing dishes or something, play it, and then when the music hits, I run out and just start tickling kids. And it also is Ronda Rousey's, it was her UFC walkout song and also her WWE walkout song.
Yeah.
So you're a big Ronda Rousey guy.
I am. Definitely that and Conor McGregor when it comes to UFC. But we never really watched it. I never watched it. You started. I'm like, oh, okay, let's check this out.
You made fun of me at first. And then you're...
I did.
You
I
like
did.
To downplay how into it you are, but you're into it too. We went...
It's because I make unique names for all the characters.
Yeah, we're not going into those.
Oh, you don't want to go into those?
No.
No, maybe we shouldn't. Sometimes it's based on their outfits. And if it's a colorful outfit, you know, it's like, oh, they're like a koi fish. They're very colorful. And,
yes.
You know.
But then some of them are based on their lack of outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, we won't go into that.
It's Tiffy time.
That's not what you call her, though.
It's not Tiffy time, ladies and gentlemen. But
anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
And so, yeah, well, the kids don't watch it, but we watch it religiously. And we even went, I got to see my first live show this December. We went to Hershey.
Yes.
And now I'm even more hooked because it was so good.
It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. John Cena had just gotten like retired his last match. So he wasn't there. It was like a couple matches before. But Gunther, who retired him, he's the big bad guy.
He's the biggest bad guy in
the ring
WWE
general.
Right now.
He's just slaying everybody. He just took down AJ Styles, who's probably going to retire. he came out and you could tell everybody's booing.
Everybody's booing him. That's the whole thing. That's what you were supposed to do as the audience. You're not supposed to let him be able to get a word in edgewise. That's like the whole thing.
Right.
So then there does get a point, and we even we watched it on TV the next day, and it's clear as day. There's a point it gets quiet, and he looks like he's about to start talking again, and there's this one really loud single man going, "Pow!" And it was you. I remember sitting next to you and how, and then everybody else chimes in. But I remember sitting next to you and how quiet it was there. And then you could hear it in the, I was like, oh my God, that has to be you.
Because so, I was trying to time it. So that way when he would go to talk, I would quit. I try to beat him to it, and then everybody would go, you know.
Yeah, so then the
Philly fan was coming out on me.
Yes.
For sure.
At least you didn't throw anything at him, like a snowball or anything.
No,
we
can't get that crazy. No, we're not from Center City. We're not that kind of crazy. But go Birds.
Sorry to all those from Center City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not. Yeah. That was a lot of fun, because that was the first time I've ever been to something like that. And for the listeners, it might be like, well, you know, it's all scripted. Well, no shit. A lot of sports events are, you know.
Well, and I tell people, we're not talking about the NFL script. We're not getting into that conspiracy.
Oh, come on. I
want to
go that way, yeah.
I tell a lot of people when they kind of raise the eyebrow, like, you guys watch that? I think the predetermined part is a majority of why we like it. A lot of our discussions are, like, this has all been happening, so it must be this way. Like, we try to predict the predetermination, like, because you can kind of look at the overall story, or we'll be like, oh, so-and-so just won this championship, they're not going to drop it, or, like, it has to be this person that's the mystery person under the mask.
And
like,
then when
all
it's
that...
not, it's like, oh, you're totally shocked. That's
and
what I think.
Like, why did they do that?
Yeah, I think it makes WWE so compelling, you know, is because, yeah, you buy into it, but, you know.
Well, they know you don't know, so it's not like it's, right. It's predetermined, but it's not predictable.
And I would say, and this might be a hot take, but they're 100% athletes, because the moves they do and the bumps they take and the smacks or the hits, it's like, they're really getting slapped, or they're really jumping off of, what do they call it, the top rope or high rope or...
The top rope.
Top rope, you know, and they're, like, landing hard.
They're really jumping into tables.
Yeah, like, yeah, they're really jumping to tables. Those ladders, those ladders are, like, there's nothing fake about those ladders.
Well, they might do some things to soften it or to protect themselves. Yeah. It's still, it's
throwing
real
their body around.
Abuse they're putting on their bodies. And if anything, like, it's even more so because... they have to be ready to adapt and, like, move through with storylines or different things and do things they didn't think they were supposed to have to do. And, yeah, it's not staying within the confines of, like, certain basketball rules or, ever, like, where that can get, like, you know what you're going to do.
Changes on the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Somebody gets hurt or something, they have to adapt. And it's, like, it's neat to see. Because they're doing it live in front of thousands of people, you know, if not more. And, yeah, I bought in, and I'm new to this. Like, with John Cena, I was like, no, you know, I became such a big fan of his, you know, in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And people that have, like, grown up watching WWE, like these little guys and girls that have been watching this, like, man, can you imagine the heartbreak they went through? And I was ready to lie.
You yelled at the TV for a solid 20 minutes after that match was over. You had a really
tapped.
Hard time with it.
Yeah.
That one was second probably to SummerSlam, when they did a surprise cash in and Seth Rollins, who was pretending to be injured, wasn't injured, cashed in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Beat CM
Took
Punk.
Took the belt from CM Punk.
Yeah, that one you really wrecked.
What belt
you.
Was that again?
The World Heavyweight Championship,
yeah,
I think.
That was brutal, because CM Punk, you know, he's just such a scrappy fighter, scrappy wrestler. And to have that happen blew my mind. Yeah, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
You just sat there,
what are
no,
these rules,
no,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, to throw way back the time, was Conor McGregor fighting, was it Nate Diaz or one of the Diaz brothers?
Nate Diaz, I think.
I just remember, Conor, get your hands up.
Oh, my
God. Get your hands up.
That wasn't just for that fight, though. Anyone that's ever watched a Conor McGregor fight with you,
he's
can attest
guy.
To the fact that you'd yell the entire time. If it were up to you, he would just have his hands duct taped in front of his
gotta
face.
Gotta keep him up.
You yell that you yelled that all the time. So if he fights again, that's exactly what you'll
I know. At the White House lawn, around July 4th, or maybe it's on July 4th for the 250th anniversary of this great country, America.
But they didn't announce that yet, so.
Dana White's working on it. Him and El Presidente will get it done. Let's take a snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat. So to pick back up, you know, I think in WWE, in wrestling, life in general, right? You learn a lot about, like, not giving up, even when the odds aren't in your favor. So throughout life and parenthood, what is a lesson that you have learned that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I mean, it does kind of go with what you just said there, but having that persistence and determination and not giving up was something that was distilled in me from really young age, like the age of 5. People that know me know this story, but not everybody, obviously. When I was 5, my dad was in a really, really bad, like probably what should have been fatal car accident. And then when he did survive, was told he would never walk again. And then now to this day, he's run 5Ks since then. He's done like everything. He's pretty much Superman. You don't get that way by being complacent or like not persevering and pushing through. And I mean, I see it in him. I see it in different ways in you with how you could get told no 50 times and you just need that one time to say yes in sales. And I mean, you even do it to me when I don't answer questions like, can I buy a pack of football cards? You ask me the same time over and over again. You're trying to get me to Target after this to, and you'll probably crack me too.
Gotta rip some wax, rip some cards.
But just pushing through, I mean, you're going to have bad days, but without the bad days, the good days aren't as good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, last week, Parker wasn't happy that I told her she couldn't have candy at 6 o'clock in the morning, so she called me a bad mom. I can't just crawl back in bed and cry. Yeah. And as much as I'd like to cry the rest of the day and not do anything, like, and especially becoming a parent, you learn to push through things you never thought was possible. You could have the stomach bug, you could have the flu, like, but you're still mom, so you still got to do what you got to do. Not all of us can be like you and other dads out there and other people out there and other parents out there.
Say, that's what
dads
makes...
just get the stereotypical bad rap, but you play into that stereotype of having the man flu and just laying on the sofa. Everything still has to function.
Yeah.
So you just can't give up and you got to learn from it and move forward.
Yeah. That's what makes moms moms. They're like super, super moms.
You know, yeah, no matter what. I love you, but you weren't making it through 2 unmedicated childbirths.
No, that was impressive. That was like, wow. I mean, that chair that I was laying on, though, that was
that,
a son of a bitch.
I mean, I'm sorry. That you was tough. Went, you had tough. The hardest Real time.
Tough. Yeah. No, you were a champ. And moms out there, definitely superheroes. There was a saying, I don't know if you'll remember it, but I hope you do. Bucky had said it to you years ago, and you told it to me, and I'm like, whoa, that's really, it was a really powerful message. Do you remember what he said?
I'm thinking of a lot of things my grandfather said to me. What?
Oh, all right. Well, this goes back to when we were dating. I think we had a little discrepancy or something. Oh, Bucky would say it much better. I should get him on the podcast because, you know, I'll get bucked for listeners that know. But anyway, pretty much it was something, you know, you have to have rainy days to have beautiful sunshine or beautiful rainbows or something. Well, I can't believe you don't remember it. I kind of remember, but I wish I knew it better.
No.
You have to have the bad days for the good days, pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, you have to go through some storm sometime for the sunshine and rainbows. Yeah.
Yeah, if it were easy, everybody would do it.
Well, that's for sure. So if someone is feeling overwhelmed, you know, whether it's family, life, work, expectations, what would you want them to hear right now?
That you are a priority and taking care of yourself is a priority. And if you need help, it's okay to ask for it in any way. I mean, I haven't really, family and stuff knows, but I'm like, part of getting that help is then accepting it. But when Parker was 6 months old, I struggled very, very heavily and was in a pretty dark place with postpartum depression, which despite what people might think, you can get that up until a year postpartum. So being 6 months out, like even I thought, oh, okay, because they ask you questions like to make sure you're okay, your first couple check-ins with the baby and everything. And you kind of have the stigma of like, oh, by then you should have it together. Like, why are you sad? And why is like your intrusive thoughts going wild and all this different stuff? And I found it within myself to talk to you, talk to my mom, and you guys supported me and encouraged me to get help. And I still see that therapist even just because life is heavy. Life is tough. Yeah. Like, even though that is well behind 100%. Me now, it's nice to have somebody to talk to that yeah. has no bias, and that, like, especially for me, she can put me in check, or she can hype me up and be like, oh yeah, you're right. Or yeah. be like, excuse me. No, ma'am. Like, yeah. please. Yeah. Cause you need that in your life even more than just my 3-year-old that does that to me on a hourly basis.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say just making sure people know that they are loved, they are important, mm-hmm. and that you have to take care of yourself to be able to take care of others. Like, if I'm not operating, like, if I'm a shell of a person, then I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be the partner you need or deserve, and I'm not going to be the mom the kids need or deserve.
Yeah.
So you have to have something to give to other people. So if you're empty.
That's a good one. Yeah. It's not bad to have a creative outlet, whether it's fitness, reading a book, hanging out with friends, you know, by the fire, whatever it is, a podcast, something creative, something that you can do, taking pictures, walking.
Shout out to my book club.
Shout out to your book club. Yeah. Shout out to the ladies of the book club. That's a wild book club. That might be a whole nother episode in and of itself. We'll get Megan on here. You ladies could do an episode, maybe.
I don't know if anybody can handle that, but
that would probably get the podcast canceled for sure.
We read hockey romance. That's all we're going into. Well, all kinds, yeah, but hockey is... Yeah.
Yeah.
You need an outlet, like you said, so that's part of it.
What do you call it? The fishbowl or some nonsense?
The boy aquarium.
The boy aquarium. We'll let it lay. We'll let it at that. So for the listeners, if you've enjoyed this story, if it's inspired you, please share it with a friend, leave a review, and subscribe to American Grown Podcast for more incredible stories from the heart of our community. You're always welcome back to the podcast. We'll have to do another one at some point down the road.
It's kind of hard because I'm normally the one holding down the fort, so you can do this.
I do appreciate it a lot.
I know you do.
Some recordings go very long, and I can't always predict that. And, like 717 Armory, for the listeners, that was like a 3-hour recording with Pat. First time I met him, and we just clicked. And
that happened out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was a long one. And to the point where I think you and my father were both like, should we go check on him? Like,
there are some times I'm about ready to call for a welfare check with you, yeah. especially when it's somebody we don't know, so I don't know how talkative they're going to be. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. You're happy and you're great at it. So
thank you. It's fun. I like doing it. So if you're good, I'll wrap it up. All right. Courtney, thank you for joining me here on the American Grown Podcast, for being my amazing partner, my teammate, and my best friend. You bring so much heart, humor, and perspective to every room you walk in, and I'm glad we got to share some of that with our listeners today.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today.